In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. What is your goal every day? You should have a goal. You should have the same goal every day. I'll tell you what my goal is. You can say it in different ways, and it means approximately the same thing, but I'll say it this way because of the point I want to make about the gospel. Every day, my goal is to change my understanding of what life is. That's always the most important question you can answer every single day. It's really the only important question. What is life and what is death? And as a corollary to that, how can I learn to love what is life and to hate what is death? It might seem obvious that we should love what is life and hate what is death, but that's not obvious by the way we live our lives. We do a lot of things that show that we love death more than life. Things that bring death more than things that bring life. I'm convinced that really the major part of Christianity is that we must change the way we think. We must desire godly things, spiritual things, heavenly things from above, not earthly things. All of our problems are because we desire earthly things. All of our sins are because we look down and not up, because we desire things that are death and not life. If you look in your life, you'll see that this is true. Now we have before us a certain ruler, a rich man, a pious man, a religious man, not a bad man, who asked the Lord, what should he do to inherit an eternal life? Now, there's a lot of things in this story that are deep theological truths. But really, one of them just always flashes before my eyes every time I read this. And it's not really stated explicitly. The reason it's not stated explicitly is because the truths of the gospel are only for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. They're not told explicitly. Now, some of the dogmas are, but even some of the dogmas aren't. Not once in all of Scripture is the Holy Trinity referenced as such, saying, this is the Holy Trinity, you must believe in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, we must learn to read the gospel with this, with deep understanding that the gospel is going to be telling you something every time you read it. It's going to jump out and grab you if you slow down and listen to it, or slow down and read it with prayer, with understanding. So the young man is told, do the commandments, and he says, I've done all these. And what do I still lack? So the Lord tells him, since he's a rich man, he values riches. He wanted to be saved with his riches. Sort of like someone who wants to be proud of being humble. It's not possible to be saved with your riches. So he tells him, sell everything you have, distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and follow me. And then something very important, the most important part of the whole story. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. So the question is, why was he sorrowful? And it's not just the obvious answer that the evangelist says he was sorrowful because he was rich. But why did he value his riches above salvation? He had a taste for earthly things, for worldly things. And so he couldn't conceive of salvation outside of the things that he valued. There's no indication that he was a miser. In fact, St. John Chrysostom says that this man wanted to be saved, but he wanted to be saved with according to his understanding and his terms. So he was very sorrowful because his riches were for him life. So this begs a very important question that always jumps out at me when I read these kinds of things in the gospel, where there's a comparison being made between death and life. Make no doubt, make no mistake, he's comparing something and choosing that it is life when actually it is death. We're doing this all the time. Every day you're making decisions about what is life and what is death. And so, how do we develop a taste for what is alive and abhor what is dead? It's a very important question. It's a question that I spend most of my time trying to answer. And as a pastor, I really think that's the most that I can give you. I can't give you much. I can't really solve your problems. I'm not wise enough to solve my own problems. I can't really pray with like fire coming out of my fingers, like I think it was Abba Ambo in the Desert Fathers. But I can try to teach you to learn what is alive and what is dead, and to then force yourself or teach yourself, with God of course helping, to value what is alive and to hate what is dead. That's really all there is to it. And that's why, and this is number 14, Richard, I would tell you to read the Gospels. You got to do it. That's why I would tell you, you must pray. What are you going to do tomorrow? You're going to go to work. You're going to go to school. You're going to clean the house. You're going to watch some TV. You're going to pay bills. What are you really going to do that's important tomorrow? What's really important is you change the way you live. And you can't change the way you live unless you change the way you think. Now, you don't have the power to change the way you think on your own power. But you do have the power to do the things that will help you to change the way you think. Prayer, and the reading of the Gospels especially, and the Psalter, and fasting, and struggling to live the Christian life, all those things will change your mind. It's really important. It's really the eternal question. It's the most important question you can answer. What is alive and what is dead? There's a lot of death around us. Death that we even take into our own homes, into our own bodies, into our own minds. Why do so few of you read the Psalter or read the Gospels every day, or come to the services frequently? Most of you are coming on Sunday morning. Where you really get the stuff that changes your mind is on Saturday night. That's the stuff, really, that changes your mind. Not just one time, not just two times, not 100 times. But after 1,000 times, your mind is changing. And actually, it's changing during the whole time. Really, our worship is about what life is about. Making judgments. Judging what is good, what is bad. Choosing to cleave to what is good and to leave what is bad. So in our services, we talk a lot about what's good. And we worship the one who is good. And we parenthetically add the things that are bad that we should look out for to not do. And this stuff is said over and over again, and it's sung, and it gets into your bones, it gets into your heart. It changes you. Makes you a better person. Now I want to emphasize to you, St. John said this man wanted to be saved. He wasn't a bad guy. I'm sure he gave alms. I'm sure he prayed. I'm sure he loved his children and his wife. I'm sure he loved his fellow man. But he valued something that was dead above what is alive. And that was his downfall. And each one of us in this room, every single one of us, values something that is dead. And doesn't value enough the things that are alive. So you got to be changing your mind. So I would submit to you that the most important thing you can do tomorrow is to try to change the way you think about what's alive and what's dead. And then you'll start to really change. Now, we're celebrating St. Philaret the Merciful, one of my favorite saints. He was very, very rich, but he gave all his money away all the time, to the point when, at one point where he became very poor. His wife was very mad at him. But eventually, because of his granddaughter, he became rich again, because she was married off to someone that was rich in the court. And he became rich again, but he still distributed his wealth all the time. Now, why would he do that? Because he knew what was alive and what was dead. That's an amazing thing. Because most of us hold on to our money. We hold on to the things we hold dear. We want to keep them. St. Philaret just kept giving them away. Truly amazing. He's an example of a man who knew what is alive and what is dead. It's really all I have to give you. Don't have much wisdom, don't have much heartfelt prayer. I try to pray. I pray a lot, but I don't pray very well. But I want you to learn what is alive and what is dead. That's your most important question. The rich man didn't know it. He even followed the commandments, at least the external ones. But the greatest one, he didn't follow. And that is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. He thought he loved God, but he actually loved money and God. And you can never say you love something and God, unless it's your neighbor and God. If it's anything else and God, it means that you love that thing and you do not love God. God, deliver us from this blindness. Work against this blindness. I know some of you that you know that you have this blindness. You're the ones who see. The ones who don't think that they have a problem, they're the ones that are blind. The ones that think, well, you know, I'm a good Christian and I live a good life and I'm a pretty good person. You're very deluded. Christianity is to make you perfect. And if you look closely, there's a lot that's not perfect. But in order to become perfect, you have to value what is perfect. And that's my goal today, is just to get you to try to change the way you think about what's alive and what's dead, so that we won't end up like the rich man. May God give you wisdom. Amen.